9. Seraphina turned at the bright flash, expecting to find Maxis there, the sudden shock of seeing her children. Relief and love poured through her. Tears filled her eyes, shrieking in gratitude. She ran to them and grabbed them in the tightest hug she could manage, even though Hayden immediately let out a verbal protest that she was hurting him. She shook so badly, she feared her legs would buckle. Had Hayden not held her against his chest, she was sure she'd have crumpled at his feet. Not even his bedraggled condition and the fact that they needed a bath and fresh clothes took away that they were the most beautiful things she'd ever seen in her life. "It's all right, Mama," he breathed, as he rested his chin against the top of her head. Like his father, he towered over her. "We're fine. It's all good." She wouldn't go that far. Her poor baby was covered in blood and bruises, his homespun clothes torn and filthy, and that made her want the throats and hearts of whoever had dared touch him. How dare they lay hands on her children? Her breathing ragged, she pulled back to examine Adina. Like her brothers, her tunic and breeches were torn and covered with filth and blood. Seraphina felt the color drain from her face as an even worse thought went through her. Adina was the prime age for a mating dragon swan.
"I'll kill them, every one of them, with my bare hands and mount their heads to my wall. Sanctuary, no sanctuary, mercy be damned."
"Hayden kept them from me,"
Adina assured her quickly, as if she could read her mother's thoughts and knew the source of Seraphina's building fury.
"Barely."
He staggered back and collapsed to sit cross-legged on the floor, hard. Raking a hand through his short auburn hair, he let out an exhausted breath, then winced as he grazed his knuckles against his bruised cheek. He glanced up at her with an adorable frown that was identical to one Max had used when he lived with her and she used to confound him with her strange Amazon ways.
"Where are we?"
Seraphina didn't answer his raspy question as she stepped over his legs and glanced around, looking for Maxis to join them. He should have been here by now. How far behind them could he be? What was taking him so long? Afraid something would tear her babies from her again, she kept her hand on Adina's.
"Where's your father?"
"I knew that was him!"
Adina smacked at her brother, who grimaced and shoved lightly at her so that she wouldn't hit his shoulder again.
"Told you!" "No, you didn't."
Ignoring his ire, Adina met Seraphina's gaze with sadness in her eyes.
"They attacked him, and he sent us here while he fought them. I don't think he was able to follow."
Blaze cursed. It was only then that her children realized there were others in the room with them. Adina pulled back as Hayden rose to his feet to put himself between them and his uncles. Seraphina smiled at the sweetly protective gesture that was so similar to what Max would have done. Though, to be honest, there wasn't much the poor boy could do right now in his wounded condition, except fall down and trip them on their way to attack her.
But God love him for trying.
She let go of Adina to gently take Hayden by the waist and scoot his enormous teen body aside. Rubbing his back, she smiled proudly at him to let him know how much she appreciated his sweet thoughtfulness.
"Adina? Hayden? Meet your uncles, Blaze and Ilarion."
"Hi!"
Blaze gestured toward the wall. Bemused by that, Hayden scowled at her and Adina. Ilarion ignored them all.
"Screw the pleasantries, we need to get to Max. Where is he?"
Hayden's frown melted to a mask of shock.
"Anyone else think it odd that one uncle can't see and the other can't speak? Is there a reason for that?"
Blaze shot a jolt at him that left him yelping.
"Careful, whelp. I don't need my sight in this form to spank your ass. As for the voice, Ilarion had his vocal cords cut by moronic humans trying to stop him from breathing fire when he was a kid. Be glad they didn't get their hands on you."
He immediately hung his head.
"Sorry. I didn't mean to offend either of you. I'm an insensitive idiot who doesn't always check with my brain before I engage my mouth, especially when I'm hurting. If it makes you feel any better, in the last 24 hours, I had 3 demons try to eat me for dinner, 12 Arcadians kick the crap out of me, and my sister screamed my eardrums to bleeding. Pretty sure I lost some testosterone along the way. Definitely a shit ton of pride and dignity. Hayden, watch your mouth. Sorry, Ma.
Shaking her head, Serafina went and grabbed Maxis's battle sword from the hanger that secured it to his wall near the door. As she started to leave, Ilarion caught her.
What are you doing?
You and Blaze watch the kids. I'm headed after Maxis.
That would be a profoundly bad idea.
Serafina glanced over her shoulder to see Fang standing in the now open doorway.
Excuse me?
He stepped aside to show her the tall, dark-haired Arcadian sentinel behind him. Only this wasn't his brother Vane. It was another Dracos, one she'd never met before. Dressed in medieval chainmail and yellow surcoat, and with his hair pulled back in a ponytail, he had an aura of regal refinement of a fierce, arrogant warrior. While most sentinels chose to hide their facial markings with their magic, his were more than apparent. Fang gestured between them.
Serafina Drago, meet Sebastian Katalakis, Prince of Arcadia.
Her jaw went slack as she realized that this was one of the royal princes, a direct descendant of Lycaon, the Arcadian king who'd founded their race. But before she could bow to him, Ilarion snorted disdainfully.
So fucking what, Fang? You're a Katalakis too.
Sebastian arched an arrogant brow at his rude dismissal.
Yes, but my grandfather was the king's son, the original Appellite heir born from his queen, Mycenae. Well, la-dee-da, Mr. Fancy Pants, aren't you special? You want a hero cookie to go with that title?
Blaze feigned a coughing fit. Excuse me, I'm having a weird Kerrigan flashback. Should I leave now before lethal things start flying?
No, I'm the one leaving. My brother needs me, and the air in here is suddenly stale.
Wait!
Sebastian ordered, in a tone that left Ilarion with a soured expression on his handsome face, one that said Sebastian was about to be in serious pain, or in a burn ward.
I came here to warn Fang about what was happening. A few minutes ago, I received a summons from my cousin to attend a harrowing for the Dragonbane he's captured.
Serafina gasped at his words.
Why did you come here?
Sebastian shrugged at Ilarion's belligerent question.
I thought you might want to get word to Savitar to stop it. As a Limani, Fang has the ability to contact him. I don't. And having been harrowed myself, I don't condone it against another, ever. I find the whole practice of it distasteful and beneath both our species.
Serafina couldn't agree more. Ilarion glared at each of them in turn.
What did you people do? Take out ads? For thousands of years, Max stayed hidden and safe.
He pinned that hostile glare on her.
You come back into his life for 5 minutes, and it starts falling apart again. Everyone now knows who he is, and they're all attacking him. Why do you have to ruin his life every time you come near it?
That's not fair.
No, it isn't. He never did anything to you, except try to protect you. I wish you'd do him a favor and get out of his life before you kill him.
Blaze gasped.
Ilarion?
Don't, brother. It's the truth I speak. We're all thinking it. I just said it. I'm sick to death of watching my brother bleed for her.
Serafina took a step toward him, intending to make him eat those words, but before she could, a loud thump sounded on the other side of the curtains. All of them froze. In unison, they turned toward the unexpected rustling. An exasperated sigh was punctuated by the curtains parting only enough to launch a round object from between them. It shot across the room and landed with another wet, squishy thump on the floor, before it rolled a few feet. Edina shrieked and danced toward her brother as the object came to rest near her and turned out to be a disembodied human head. An instant later, a huge, spiny dragon poked his head out from between the curtains to offer a lopsided grin.
"Sorry, love. Didn't realize anyone was here."
Serafina gaped at the sight of Maxis lying there as if nothing unusual had happened. He arched one dragon brow at Sebastian.
"I hope that's not a friend of yours. And if it is, tough shit. He was an asshole. Anyone got some extra-large dental floss on them? I got a chunk of Arcadian Dragon Slayer stuck in my teeth. Nasty-tasting stuff, that. And, Alarion, you're wrong. It does not taste like chicken. More like three-day-old rotten ass."
Blaze and Fang burst out laughing. Sebastian looked offended. Hayden and Edina gaped.
"If I said that, I'd be on restriction forever,"
Hayden mumbled to his sister. "Yes, you would, and don't forget it." Shaking her head, Serafina closed the distance between them so she could check on Max and make sure he was all right, that she wasn't hallucinating his sudden appearance. Max didn't move as he watched his dragon swan walk toward him with a slow saunter. He waited for the condemnation he was sure would follow for his having killed one of her people, but honestly, he was too tired and in way too much pain to care. Let her hate him. The bastard deserved it. They tried to skewer him. Next time, they should bring more men, larger spears, and marinate themselves in some soy sauce.
Gah, what kind of piss-poor diet were they on? Rotten cat meat? Cabbage wine?
Yet instead of condemning him, she sank down on her knees by his face and fell against his snout. And when she threw herself, weeping, to hold him close, he wasn't real sure what to think or do. It was so unexpected that for several heartbeats, he was rather certain he was dreaming. Or dead.
"Sarah,"
he said, from between clenched teeth. The way she had him held, he couldn't open his mouth without harming her. Still, she didn't move. She clung to him with an iron grip as her hot tears fell against his scales. Worried and a lot hornier than he should be, given the amount of pain he was in, he forced himself to return to his human body so that he could hold her and not risk damaging her. He took care to conjure a blanket and jeans for himself so that he didn't scar his children or brothers. He brushed her hair back from her damp cheeks.
"What's wrong, Sarah Mia?"
he asked, using the endearment he'd made up for her long ago. She was so upset, she couldn't speak. Instead, she rose up on her knees and wrapped her body around him and held him in a tight embrace with her cheek pressed against his heart. She had one arm draped around his neck and the other beneath his arm, and clutched her hands behind his back so tight, he wasn't sure she'd ever let go. Completely baffled, he met Ilarion's gaze over her shoulder.
"Help?"
For the first time, Ilarion looked at her with something other than unreasoning hatred. If Max didn't know better, he'd think his brother finally approved of his dragon swan.
"Just hold her, Max. She needs to know that you're really here. And whole. It's how women are sometimes."
Having been mated to a human female who loved him, Ilarion would know better than he. But Max wasn't so sure about the whole part. He ached so much that he could barely draw a deep breath. And being in a human body was all kinds of special hell. Not to mention,
"Fang, it won't take the Arcadians long to track me here and demand you turn me over to them."
As the Dragonbane, the laws of Sanctuary didn't apply to him. He was the one creature they could legally deny shelter to. It was entirely up to the owners if they wanted the heat of it. And his personal experience said that no one wanted that kind of misery, and he definitely didn't blame them for not wanting to go against another Patria to shelter him, especially since he wasn't family. Having lived here for over two centuries, he couldn't ask the Peltiers to go to war for him. They'd already lost enough to this madness of Katagaria versus Arcadian.
If you protect my family for me, they're innocent in all of this. I'll make sure I lead the others away from your door. I just need a minute to catch my breath and collect a couple of things. I promise I won't draw Sanctuary into the crossfire of my mess.
Snorting, Fang tucked his hands into his back pockets. Boy, don't you dare insult me with that shit. They can kiss my furry wolf ass, which is exactly what Amy would skin alive if I dared let them have you. I don't give up family, he paused. Well, they could have Fury. I'm not that attached to him, but they'd only keep him till he opened his mouth and launched his ass back to me with a catapult. He's like a bad boomerang that way.
Max laughed at his surly tone, knowing it for the bluster it was. Fang would kill for his brother.
You really don't want this kind of heat. Trust me.
Fang glanced around at the other dragons in the room.
You were one of the first residents the Peltiers took in when they moved here. When Eli and his pack used their witch to set fire to the first bar, you're the one who saved Amy, Dev, and Sharif from burning alive in it. And you're the only reason that fire didn't spread to Peltier House and trap the others who were sleeping there, including a Dark Hunter who would have been trapped inside by the daylight. I know the stories, too. Brother, there ain't a shifter in this place who wouldn't fight for you. Now, I don't know what happened to cause you to get marked, and I don't really care. The one thing I do know is you. And if you killed him, he had it coming. So you're free to stay. If they're dumb enough to attack, I know a bar full of hungry Karante over in the warehouse district who would love to chomp dragon meat.
He glanced over to the head on the floor.
And unlike you, they don't care if it tastes like chicken or not.
Then he scratched his chin.
You are picking that up, right? Because I don't want to have to explain it.
Rubbing his forehead, Sebastian let out a slow breath.
I hope you know what you were doing, Wolf.
Fang arched a brow.
Have you met me? Of course I have no idea what I'm doing.
Ignoring Fang's surly comment, Max rose to confront Sebastian.
Go to your Regis and tell him that I'm calling hazard on the ones who took and held my dragonettes. They want the Dragonbane. I want their throats. Fair combat in the circle.
No, Seraphina gasped.
No,
Max arched a brow at her.
I want to kill them.
He smiled at her. That was his dragon swan, ferocious to the end.
Too late. I called challenge first.
I birthed them. I should have the honor of avenging them.
And in the event this goes badly, I'd rather they lose the parent they don't know than the one they're attached to.
I'd rather not lose either, Adina said. No offense.
Hayden nodded his agreement.
I'm concurring with the kids,
Blaze smiled. Ignoring the comment, Sebastian met Fang's gaze.
If you want me to issue the challenge, I will do so. But watch your back. I have a bad feeling about all this.
Fang sighed.
We will. Give Shannon my best.
Sebastian inclined his head to them before he vanished. Shannon? Seraphina asked.
His mate.
Fang gestured toward the blood on Max's body.
You guys need me to get Carson?
Max shook his head.
I just need to rest. I'll be fine.
He glanced to Hayden.
What about you, kid?
Hayden glanced to his mother and bit his lip.
Are you good, Matera?
How do you mean?
About our father.
She scowled, still not sure what he was talking about. Adina stepped forward to place a comforting hand on his shoulder.
Tell her, Hayden. It's time.
Nodding, he bent forward onto all fours as Adina stepped back to give him plenty of room. A second later, Hayden sprang into a dragon form that was almost indistinguishable from Maxis's. With a deep, relieved moan, he rolled over onto his back and let his tongue hang out of his mouth.
Thank the
gods, I needed this.
He panted and groaned his misery.
Ah, gah! It was so hard to stay human.
His tail swished like a happy puppy's. Serafina wasn't sure what to make of him or his comments.
Hayden?
Laughing at his anguish, Idina moved to rub his belly.
He'll be fine, Mom. He's just a big baby.
Baby my ass, that shit hurt.
Hayden!
Sorry, Matera. It was brutal.
He draped one claw over his snout. Stunned, Serafina tried to make sense of this.
Are you telling me that you're Katagaria?
Everything went still in the room, as if every one of them waited with bated breath for his response and her reaction.
Yes,
he squeaked. Serafina winced at the underlying hesitation in her son's voice.
Oh, Hayden!
Choking on tears, she went to him and nuzzled his snout like she'd done Maxis's earlier.
Precious! How could you think for one moment that I wouldn't love you for this?
Oh, I don't know. The fact that you're a dragon slayer who wears boots made from the hides of dragons you've slain?
Like father, like son.
She held her hand out towards Maxis while she stroked her son's scaly cheek.
I don't care what form you take, boy. You are still the baby I carried inside me, the angel I nursed and protected. How could you think for one second that I could ever hate you for something you can't help?
Idina slapped his stomach.
Told you.
Hayden popped her with his tail.
Mom!
Hayden, stop hitting your sister with your tail.
She started it.
Serafina turned to Maxis.
Would you do something?
Like what?
Talk to them? What did you do when your brothers fought?
He shrugged.
Let them. They usually stopped once the bleeding got bad.
Hayden laughed. Idina looked horrified. Laughing, Max brushed past Sarah so that he could finally get a look at his children. It was such a strange feeling to be with strangers that were his. Yet a part of him knew it, could sense it.
May I hug you?
He asked Idina. Tears glistened in her eyes before she threw herself against him. Hayden returned to being human so that he could launch himself against Max's back and wedge him between them. Serafina couldn't breathe as she watched them. In that moment, she truly hated herself for what she'd done. Tears blurred her vision as she watched her children with the father who should never have been a stranger to them. As if sensing her sadness, Maxis reached his hand out to her and pulled her into their embrace. She took his hand and allowed them to swallow her with their cocoon. Until Hayden protested that his ribs hurt. Stepping back, he returned to being a dragon. Maxis smiled at Idina, then Hayden, before he turned to Blaze.
Can I ask a favor?
Of course.
The Galu aren't going to stop, and neither will the two packs coming for me. This is a blood feud that is centuries old. I need my children where they can't reach them.
You want me to take them to Avalon?
Please. It's the one place I know is beyond their reach.
Hayden and Idina immediately protested. Serafina wanted to argue too, but she knew Maxis was right. This was the only way to keep them safe. They'd already been punished by the gods for her actions. She didn't want them in the line of fire again.
He's right. It's just for a few days, I promise. Go with your uncle, and we'll get you soon.
As Blaze started to leave, Max stopped him.
Tell Merlin not to worry. I have not forgotten my oath or my duties. Should I fall, guardianship will go to Falcon and then to you.
He arched a brow.
Not to Hayden?
Max shook his head.
I would never do that to him. The curse of it's too strong.
So you give it to us. Thanks, brother.
Max laughed.
Getting you both back for all the years of hell you've given me.
Blaze sobered.
You be careful. And you.
He kissed Adina's cheek and hugged Hayden one more time. It took Seraphina longer to say goodbye. With the exception of Nala taking them, they'd never been separated before.
I will come for you very soon. I love you both.
Love you.
Adina kissed her cheek. Hayden hugged and kissed her.
I love you, Matera.
I love you.
Guard your sister.
I will.
And then they were gone. Alone with Maxis and Ilarion, Seraphina felt so strangely empty. She'd been a mother for so long that she'd forgotten what it was like to be by herself, to not have to look over her shoulder, to make sure her children were keeping up with her and not falling behind. Now,
we have to prepare for war.
Maxis nodded. Ilarion went to the disembodied head.
I'll take care of this.
He wrapped it up in a t-shirt. His eyes sad, he locked gazes with Maxis.
I'm so sorry I dragged you into this.
Then he looked at Seraphina.
And I'm sorry I've been so rude to you the entire time you've been here. You're not really the one who fucked my brother's life over and ruined it, my lady. I am. And I swear to you both that I won't take my hatred for myself out on you anymore. Please, forgive me.